A proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is a longtime friend. His name is Aaron McKinney. Aaron McKinney runs a place in Fort Dodge, Iowa, known as the Iowa Outdoors Store. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but really going to spend some time talking about firearms and firearm purchases, because Aaron recently was on KCCI, a CBS affiliate in the greater Des Moines metro, about a person who lied on a form, purchased a handgun. And we're going to unpack all of that. He only got 30 seconds, I think, on KCCI. So we're going to give him a lot longer to talk about this and other issues. Aaron, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I appreciate being here.
All right, so let's unpack this about the Iowa Outdoor Store. What is it that you guys sell up there?
We sell a little bit of everything because we kind of have a hardware hank built in with us as well. So we started out a sporting goods store, fishing, hunting, any kind of hunting, archery. We're bringing boats on here shortly. And then after that, we brought in tractors, Gravely mowers, implements for those tractors. So wow. We kind of have our hands into a lot of little things.
I guess so. And this really came about, didn't it? Because of a magazine that your father publishes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. The Iowa Sportsman, he's had that, 20 some years, I think, right. It's been. And it's just kind of another extension of that magazine. You know, we live here in town and in Fort Dodge, and we were kind of lacking a little bit on our sporting goods. So we decided we wanted to open up a sporting goods store, and it's just kind of grown since then. So
added tractors.
Yes. And tractors. So it just keeps going. Anybody that knows my dad knows that's pretty much par for the course.
Yeah, that's a fact. And full transparency, ladies and gentlemen, Gail McKinney, Aaron's father, and I have been in a business together for a long time, and we're currently working on American Cattleman Magazine, as well as the American Dairy Magazine, a whole host of things that we've done together in the past and currently, so everybody knows now.
Yes.
So tell us about, you were on KCCI TV for about 30 seconds with our friend Marcus McIntosh, talking mm-hmm. about a story that developed in your store when the ATF, that's the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms folks from the government, made a visit. Because of why? What happened?
What's it's called is a straw purchase. Somebody is purchasing a handgun directly for another person. They are going in there to purchase that firearm for someone else, and that is illegal. The ATF has been cracking down, which is good, very good, on a lot of these, because it's just been happening so much. And we've seen that here at our store and nationwide. So it's a good thing. But yeah, somebody cannot come into the store and purchase for someone else. That's just illegal.
Really? I had no idea that was illegal until we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago after your appearance on TV. So I'm just curious, how did ATF know, or how did the government know that the individual that came into your store, the Iowa Outdoor Store, purchased a firearm and then gave it to somebody else? How did they find out?
Usually the way that happens is that person gets caught with the firearm, the person that they gave it to, whether it be in a robbery or they just have it in their vehicle or however that happens. They catch that person, convict, whoever that is, not able to have a firearm with them. And then they start doing their investigation back to how they got the firearm. So they just start tracking it back.
So what happens, every firearm, as I understand it, every firearm has a serial number, and that serial number then is attached to this 4473 government form. Is that accurate?
Yes. So every firearm should, from a manufacturer, have a serial number on it. When it's sent out to us from a manufacturer, we put that gun in a gun book, I call it, so we can keep track of every gun that has came in while our store has existed, the serial number and what date and who it has went out to.
Got it.
So we have a whole record of that.
All right. So in this case, there was a fellow that purchased a firearm, lied on the form, the government form, apparently gave it to somebody else. That guy was caught somehow with possession of the firearm. And then did somebody from the government come calling on you at the Iowa Outdoor Store?
Yeah, they've stopped in. You know, it's I wouldn't call it a regular thing anymore, but it's, you know, they'll stop in every once in a while because they're in the area, I guess, and want you to pull a file for an investigation.
Sure.
That they're doing. Or the other way they can do it, ATF will directly contact you on the phone and want you to fax or email them a copy of that 4473, which is that government form that they fill out that they have perjured, and you can send it in that way. The ATF is so thin on help, which is too bad, but so you don't necessarily see them face-to-face as much.
Sure.
But they can get it a couple, three different ways, whether you're faxing, emailing, or they can just stop by and show you their credentials, and then you can grab it for them that way, too.
Got it. So what this person that bought the firearm and gave it to somebody else, what are the ramifications for that individual? I mean, how serious is this, and what might this individual be facing with jail time or fines?
He could face 10 years in jail, $250,000 in fines. Yeah, so it's a serious thing. You know, you want to make sure that you check the law before you do anything. If it's, you know, age, ignorance, that doesn't play in their game. So you should learn the laws, at least to the extent that keeps you safe.
So let me ask a practical question. Let's say that I go and I buy a firearm. And I then give it to my wife. And Georgie has this firearm. And have I committed a crime at that point?
Technically, there's a gray area there. Gifting is different. As long as that person is legal, to my understanding, you know, and it is better for them to come in and put that gun in their name.
Yeah.
It's just smart practice.
Sure.
There's such a gray area, and that's no, you know how the government, and I shouldn't say that, you know how lawmakers, lawyers do their wording on a lot of their laws. So it's very hard to understand sometimes.
Sure. So and there's a real issue with this, because let's say I do that. I buy a firearm. I give it to my bride. My bride then says, you know, I really don't like this thing. I don't really have a use for it. And then she gives it to our daughter, okay, who has it for a while. And then she says, you know, I think I'll just sell this thing. And then she goes ahead and sells the firearm, and perhaps to a person who might have a criminal background and is caught in the act of doing something bad with this firearm, I suspect that they would come back to me, yes?
They would come back to you, but it would probably be, and again, this is all hypothetical because there's so many different ways that could go, but they would probably, again, I'm just taking a stab, go to your daughter because she was the one liable.
Yeah.
That gun went to from her.
So the bottom line here is just do the paperwork.
And right now in the United States, it's not illegal to sell private party firearms if those guns are used. You just need to make, and it's way easier just to take it into your FFL or you know, a gun dealer and have it transferred that way.
Sure.
So you can make sure that they are on the up and up and legal to get it. Because if you sell a gun to someone who is a convict, you are liable for right. that.
All right, let's go to the next section that I think is kind of interesting. And I attended my first gun show, Aaron, about a year mm-hmm. ago. I had never been to one before. I've always told people that I wanted to go because they pop up all over the place. And so I went to a gun show searching for a bazooka. I've always wanted to have a bazooka, Aaron, and I think I could use it here in the neighborhood. I'm just kidding, ladies and gentlemen, just kidding, okay? But I went to this gun show. And what I was surprised about was that firearms that I'm familiar with and the pricing of those firearms that I'm familiar with, I thought you go to a gun show and you'd get a sweet deal on a Glock 19, for example. But I was looking at the pricing and I'm going, oh, wait a minute, that's $200 more than what I've seen it in a store. And so the next question, is that common?
Yeah, it can be. There used to be years ago. That was kind of the thought, you know, you got some good deals at gun shows. That's not really the case as much anymore. It seems like it's, you know, full blown retail, which is weird, but, yeah, you don't really get too many deals at gun shows anymore. Right. There are some, you know, sure. But
sure.
Yeah,
you gotta find them. You gotta find them.
Yes.
So the other question is, if I am selling guns at a gun show and I'm sitting there behind my case and I've got all these firearms sitting there. Do I then, as a gun show participant, do I fill out a 4473 government form to people who are buying?
Here is where it gets really weird. At a gun show, there are people at a gun show, you do have to do 4473s. Those are the guys, gals, dealers that get their firearms directly from a manufacturer, brand spanking new, mailed from a manufacturer or a distributor to them. They have to have an FFL to get those guns. They have to fill out a 4473, or if they don't, they'll be in jail to sell a firearm.
Sure.
Now, somebody who buys used guns does not have to do that. They are not required to have an FFL, they can sell those guns without having to run a 4473 if they are used firearms.
So if I go to an estate sale and I buy half a dozen whatever firearms and I buy it at auction or however this is handled, those are used firearms, and I can then perhaps take those firearms to a gun show. And I do not have to fill out or have my purchasers fill out a 4473. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. Yep. So at this time, you do not have to do that.
What? I'm trying to figure out how any of this makes sense. I know that, in speaking to your father about this, as a matter of fact, I know that there's been outreach to legislative leaders asking, so what's the story? Why do I have to fill out a 4473 government form? And if I'm reselling firearms that are used at a gun show, they don't have to.
Whoa. Very good question. That's a lot of people are wondering that.
So I mean, this is not, in my estimation, you know, you're a guy, you have firearms, I have fire, you know, who doesn't these days? But the question is, why would legislators not support everybody filling out a government form if you're going to sell firearms? Do you know?
It probably goes back to who votes them into office, would be my guess. Yeah. You know, just a very quick and easy. It seems like common sense to me. I mean, if you're legal to have a firearm and you have a permit, which makes the process quicker, I don't see what the big deal would be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is confusing. It's, you know, and I've heard people say, Aaron McKinney, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. I've heard people say, Aaron, that this is a slippery slope. I love those two words, you know, the slippery slope in with regard to the Second Amendment. Have you heard likewise?
Yes, I have. You know, a lot of people are worried that Big Brother is watching every little thing they do.
Right.
You know, and I think that's part of it. You know, that's why people don't want them knowing what gun they have, you know, or where it's at or where they live. I think that's part of it. But again, as long as a person is abiding by the law, nothing will ever happen. You don't have to worry about that.
Right. One of the interesting statistics we saw, and we've reported on this a couple of times, is the number of firearms that have exploded. I mean, people buying firearms. But what's interesting is the number of people buying firearms has not necessarily gone up, but the people who own firearms are buying multiple firearms and have safes full of them. Is that, to your knowledge, is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of people who have safes full of firearms, you bet.
And so what's, are they collecting? Are they waiting for Armageddon? Or, you know, what's the rationale?
I would say the majority of those people are collecting. There always are those some outliers that, yep, it's the end of the world tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the majority of those people, I would say, are collecting. I even know a few guys that's kind of, you know, for their retirement in a way. I mean, I could think of better ways to put my money into a retirement plan, but, you know, the guns don't necessarily have to go up in price.
Right.
You know, I guess, but it's a free country, so they can do what they want. Sure. As far as that goes.
Yeah. Aaron McKinney's been our guest, ladies and gentlemen, talking about this very complex situation with regard to registering firearms at purchase. And, you know, I Crossroads Shooting Sports in the greater Des Moines metro, it's actually in Johnston, I believe, here in the metro, is my go-to place around here. They've got a wonderful indoor shooting area. And, you know, some of the nicest people on the planet. When I took, and this is just me, and I think I think it bodes well. There are classes, or there were classes in the state of Iowa. You used to have to, if you wanted a concealed carry permit, you must take a class. And that class would be put on by a certified trainer. And it was very interesting because I did that just out of curiosity. What is all this about? And paid extra for a one-on-one session that would usually last an hour, but it was an hour and 35 minutes that I was with this instructor because I wanted to find out everything about it. And it was really a great experience, but that's no longer necessary, is it?
Correct. Yeah. I used to have a permit, either to purchase, they had that, or a permit to carry. Both, either one of those, you would need to buy a handgun. And yeah, you know, you had a class, you got a little education on it, how they worked, laws. Yeah, it just seemed like a no-brainer to me. But again, there's again, that slippery slope, that word, those couple words. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I've seen so many people come into our store that don't even know how to handle a weapon. You know, oh, I'll learn later. Well, it's not necessarily, you shouldn't learn later. You should probably learn before you want to purchase a handgun, so you know what you need, what you want, how to handle it.
Wow.
You know, you don't accidentally shoot yourself or somebody else.
Wow. I just, you know, you talk about the Wild West. It seems to be that way. And I certainly would encourage people, if they are considering purchasing a handgun, that you find somebody to educate you. And don't necessarily revolve around the retail store to be the point person to show you how to even load the firearm, for crying out loud. It is a complex issue, and you're so right, Aaron McKinney from the Iowa Outdoor Store. I really do appreciate you spending so much time with me about this, because I think it is one of those public concerns, and it, you know, and given the number of people who tragically succumb to wounds or are outright killed with firearms. This is also a public health concern, I would think. And I thank you for helping me try to better understand all of this. So thanks for your time, Aaron.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. One last word I want everybody to take away from this. You know, I was in the military. I'm 100% for firearms. I just want it done smartly and correctly.
That, once again, is the voice of Aaron McKinney, who runs the Iowa Outdoors Store. You can find out more about them and their website at iowaoutdoorstore.com. And yes, we will have a link up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this show together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Aaron McKinney, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.